In his new book, science writer and former NPR reporter David Barron writes, America is engaged in a grand and largely unintentional experiment as wildlife invades suburbs and suburbs invade wildlife habitat. The book is called The Beast in the Garden. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke to Barron.
The arrival of Europeans in the New World, writes David Barron, set off a slaughter of wildlife that lasted until just a generation ago. Large carnivores especially, grizzlies, wolves, coyotes, and cougars were shot, trapped, poisoned, set upon by dogs, driven from their natural habitats and sometimes to near extinction as the pioneers tamed the wilderness. The environmental movement changed all that, and now deer stroll through backyards all over America. Falcons nest in skyscrapers. A recent study of black bears in the Sierra Nevada found that animals living around towns were getting fat from dumpster diving. That and sleeping all day in parks under wooden decks, and in one case, a woman opened her bedroom door and found a snoozing bear in the hallway. If this last invasion sounds a bit more ominous than amusing, it is, says David Barron. In his book, The Beast in the Garden, A Modern Parable of Man and Nature, David Barron focuses on one creature, the mountain lion, in one town, Boulder, Colorado, as the man-beast interaction turns deadly.
What opens the book and also what comes around and closes the book is a tragic and, to a large extent, unexpected event that occurred back in 1991. A mountain lion attacked and killed an 18-year-old young man right behind his high school in broad daylight in view of homes and an interstate highway, and that was the attack that scientists thought would never happen.
Also, as you point out, it wasn't just that a mountain lion attacked this teenager. It was that the mountain lion stalked him, attacked him, and ate him.
Treated him as prey, exactly. Mountain lions throughout history have been known on rare occasion to attack people, but in the past, those attacks always seemed to be explainable by some sort of extenuating circumstances. The cat was rabid or starving, the victim was a young child, easy prey. But the idea of a healthy mountain lion attacking a full-grown human right on the edge of town, I mean, that was considered almost preposterous.
You write this book as something of a thriller, and what you have is two what you might call lead detectives. One's a biologist and one's a naturalist, experts in wildlife. And tell us the moment when they knew something the rest of us didn't.
Yeah, these two men, their names are Jim Halfpenny and Michael Sanders. They were conducting, back in the late 1980s, a study of human-lion interaction in and around Boulder, Colorado. And they were collecting data. They were asking people to phone in reports of lions when people would see a lion out on a trail or in their backyard. They would have people call in and say where they saw it, what time of day, how the animal behaved. So they were collecting data, and they saw in these numbers that they had on a computer that lion behavior was changing in some very troubling ways. The lions were becoming more active in the daytime. Historically, mountain lions were thought to be nocturnal. The lions were less likely to run away from people. They were moving deeper into town. And they saw what was happening, and they were arguing in the media and arguing to state wildlife officials that, you know, the old idea that mountain lions are basically harmless may not apply anymore.
Well, though in this case, in true thriller fashion, they tried to raise the alarm and no one would listen.
Well, and also this was Boulder, Colorado, which is a very environmentally aware, liberal community where people love wildlife. And the mountain lions had been gone for such a long time. People were thrilled when they came back. This is what the environmental laws of the 1960s and 70s were meant to achieve, was to bring back the wildlife, including the large predators.
How wild have the suburbs become?
In and around Boulder, Colorado, which is the area that I write about in my book, mountain lions back in the late 80s were routinely hanging out in backyards, killing deer in people's yards, getting up on back porches to snatch poodles, and jumping into backyard pens to eat literally German shepherds. Things really turned a corner in June of 1990 when a 28-year-old medical student named Linda Walters was out for her usual afternoon jog when she came across two mountain lions. And Her first reaction was, wow, this is great. She'd always wanted to see one. Well, she made herself look large, like you're supposed to. She kind of shouted at the lion, expecting it would just run off. Well, the two lions did not run off. They, in fact, came after her. And so she ended up fleeing up a ponderosa pine tree. She ended up stomping on the head of one of the lions to knock it to the ground. The other continued to come up the tree. The only way she was able to fend it off was by breaking off a dead branch and fashioning a primitive spear. And she ended up spearing and swatting the lion until it backed down. What ultimately saved her is that while she was clinging to the trunk and the two lions were down below eyeing her, a deer started to walk down the opposite slope, and the lions decided to pursue that animal as prey instead of her. But that was the incident that really changed the mindset in Boulder, that maybe these lions are getting a little too comfortable with us.
After the attack on this jogger and that brutal stalking and killing of a teenager, Colorado's wildlife officials changed their approach to mountain lions. Rangers who find big cats lingering near hiking trails blast them with air horns or shoot at their feet to scare them away. A mountain lion caught attacking a pet in a backyard will be killed. Locals and rangers are still likely to save an orphaned cub, but the goal is to draw a line for the wild animals between their world and ours. David Barron believes it's a lesson for the increasing number of suburbanites moving closer to the wild.
There are no easy solutions. It's not an easy situation. I think, first of all, we need much more public education to get people to be responsible in ways that they do not attract wildlife. I'm increasingly of the opinion that the proper thing to do with wildlife that ends up in your backyard is to be mean to it. Yell at it and throw rocks at it and squirt a hose at it. And I know this sounds incredibly unpolitically correct, but the wildlife problems we're having are because the wildlife has become too comfortable with us, and that's not good for the animals. It's not good for us. It's certainly not a good idea to have lions that think it's okay to be in people's backyards.
David Barron is the author of The Beast in the Garden. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News, Los Angeles.